The Rapids podcast is presented by Advocare, the official sports nutrition partner of the Colorado Rapids. Here are your hosts, Richard Fleming and Connor McGahey.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Dick's Sporting Goods Park for what is a very special and very important day in the history of Colorado Rapids Soccer Club. It's with no further ado, then, that we'll pass the floor to Colorado Rapids Sporting Director and Interim General Manager, Porrick Smith, and new Colorado Rapids Head Coach, Anthony Hudson, for some opening remarks. Porrick.
Thank you, Ryan. Again, welcome everyone to Dick's Sporting Goods Park. We're here for a very special occasion, and as Ryan said, a very important day in our club's history as we introduce Anthony Hudson as the new coach of the Colorado Rapids. It's my pleasure and my great honor to welcome Anthony Hudson to your new home, your new club, the Colorado Rapids. Ladies and gentlemen, Anthony Hudson.
Thank you. Thank you, Porrick. Firstly, I just want a sincere gratitude to the Kroenke family and Kroenke Sports and Entertainment. And of course, Porrick, Wayne, all those involved with bringing me here. I'm so grateful to be here, so excited to start this journey with everyone, and I can't wait to get started.
The words we've all been waiting for since the end of the regular season, the Colorado Rapids have a new head coach, and his name is Anthony Hudson. Hope you had a wonderful Thanksgiving, by the way. Coming up in this podcast, we'll hear from Mr. Hudson as well as Porrick Smith, the man behind the hire. We will also skip briefly through the month of May as our season review rolls on and catch the latest thoughts from both Dylan Gannon and Richard Fleming. But as you would expect, much of this podcast will be given over to the new head coach. Before we hear from the man himself, here's 10 things of note about Anthony Patrick Hudson.
He was born in Seattle on March the 11th, 1981. His father, Alan, played for the Sounders in the original North American Soccer League, alongside current Seattle head coach Brian Schmetzer. Hudson Jr. came through the famed West Ham Academy, where teammates included Michael Carrick and Joe Cole. While at West Ham, and due to both having famous footballing fathers, Hudson became good friends with Frank Lampard. His playing career was spent in England, the Netherlands, and the USA, and ended at the age of 27. His coaching career started in the States and included time in the USL. He can speak Spanish, which allows him to converse comfortably with his coaching idol, Marcelo Bielsa, of Lille. Hudson's last club role was as manager of Newport County, a Welsh team who at the time were playing in the Conference Premier, one step below League Two. In his first 7 months as coach of New Zealand, Hudson picked one squad and had the players together for a total of just 9 days. In 27 games with New Zealand, only 4 were played at home.
And so now you know a little bit more about Anthony Hudson. Let's settle down for his first words on the Rapids podcast. He's been speaking to our very own Richard Fleming.
First of all, Anthony, welcome to Colorado. I know moving around the world, you've already mentioned this 4 continents you've worked on. So moving to a new area might not be such a challenge. What do you see as your big challenges over the next few months?
The biggest challenge is really new faces. You know, myself is new, staff, players. You know, there's going to be a lot of transition, and I think really, between now and the start of pre-season, we have to be, as a staff, be incredibly prepared, incredibly organised to make sure that transition is quick. That would be the biggest thing for me. I think making sure we get the foundation, the environment right is going to be a big priority of mine. And also to make sure, you know, I've been really impressed with, you know, one of the biggest reasons why I'm here, I'm really impressed with the front office and where the club are, the direction the team are going in. And I think for us to be, as a club, be aligned, you know, and make sure that, you know, because any success we have is going to be down to all of us doing things together in the same direction. So I think they're the three main areas that certainly I'm going to be tackling really from today.
Why MLS? Why Colorado?
Well, I think the direction the club's going in, the philosophy the club wants to have and the style of play the club wants to have is all something that really aligns with how I see the game, how I want to play. That's really important. That's probably the biggest thing. I've been a huge admirer of the MLS for many years. I've worked out here for, you know, six odd years in the USL. My dad, having played out here, and it was such a great experience for him. I've sort of always grown up in my family. There's always been this really special link to the States and to the MLS, and I think I would say all my family's always said, you know, this is the place that we've always talked about it. This is where we end up in the MLS, and so there's a lot of things. But I think the biggest thing is the way the club want to play, the philosophy that the club want to go in, the direction. It just aligns with how I want to do things.
Well, that's on to the next question, in fact, because fans have wanted a kind of an exciting, attacking brand of football. What can we expect under Anthony Hudson?
Well, I think for me, it's really important that there's been some incredible work that's done in the past with this club in terms of previous coaches, and there's some really good foundations in terms of, you know, defensively how the team work. I want to try and maintain that, but also now get the team playing, you know, a good style of play, a good brand of football, but productive football. You know, we want to play good football, but we want to do it in an organised way, a structured way, and be productive. We want end product in what we do. But again, the philosophy of myself and the club is really aligned with where we're both at.
Interesting, you've stepped away from the international scene and back into club football. How is your day-to-day? And obviously, I think I read somewhere that the first 7 months in charge in New Zealand, you kind of named one squad and had the team together for a total of 9 days. So clearly there's a day-to-day. But yeah, just how you approach it, how you manage your time and the players, how will that change?
I think anyone that knows me or has worked with me will probably look at... not only my staff, my players in the last 6 years have all been telling me every single tour, you need to be on the pitch every day. You know, you need to be in day in, day out in a club. So I think the reason they've said that is because of the way I am and the way I work. You know, I've been an international manager for 6-7 years, and I've used the time, and you've just mentioned a period of time there, and I've used every single period in between every single tour, just relentlessly wanting to learn and improve the style of play, improve how we train the team, improve everything from recovery strategies to every minute little detail of you know, how we attack to defend, everything. So I think that's just in my nature. So in terms of my work ethic and my discipline, this is now this is the right time for me, and it's a really good fit. But again, I think if you could ask any player that's probably ever played under me, that would probably say I'm more suited to doing exactly what I'm doing right now.
Harry Redknapp once referred to you as a young Jose Mourinho. What do you hope? What do you hope that he meant by that?
I think respectfully, it's a really nice thing for him to say. He said it a long time ago, and it's something that just gets stuck and it comes up. Look, Harry's been a great mentor and a great sort of person in my corner. He's always there on the end of a phone, and my time at Tottenham was really good. I enjoyed it there. He gave me a great opportunity there, an opportunity to work with some really, really top players, and players now who are playing in the Premier League, and to get out and you know, really push myself in terms of that role. But yeah, look, I'm someone who's very much my own man, and I've had to, you know, work incredibly hard to get to this point, and I'm comfortable with that.
I know people will make an issue about the age. You know, he's only 36. Where would you say you are in your learning curve?
Well, I think the age is the obvious one on paper, but you know, I've got a huge amount of experience in terms of management and coaching. You know, I think this is probably my fourth now team I've managed. You know, I've been assistant coach twice, and of course I've worked at Tottenham in the developmental squad. So I've had, you know, a good amount of experience as an assistant and as a manager. And I have had some good experience in terms of some success and some knocks as well. And I think that's really important. And I think having those as a young person and as a young manager forces you to have to really grow quickly. And, you know, because that age thing does get thrown about a bit, and you have to constantly keep proving yourself. So, but look, I'm at a stage now where I'm I'm an experienced manager, comfortable with, I know what I can do, I know what I bring to the table, I know what I'm bringing to the Rapids, and I'm just looking forward to the challenge.
What does it say about you as a person, your personality, that had some hard knocks as a player, retired at 27, you kind of stepped away from the game a little bit, and you've come back and you've risen so quickly, staying in the sport as a manager? What does that say about your makeup?
Well, I don't know what that says, but I know that I'm definitely someone that this is, football's my life, and this is something that, coaching is something that I love. There's nothing else I want to do. Literally, my whole life is about the Rapids and making sure I do the very best job I can do for the club, for the team. And the past experiences, the difficult challenges have just made me personally even more determined and dogged and even have an even stronger desire to do well.
And looking back, you've gone kind of above and beyond in terms of that thirst for knowledge, wanting to constantly learn. And you've been to see some of the big names, the big coaching names in the game. How is that process, and how are they in terms of sharing some of their touchline secrets?
It's just another part of the job that I feel very grateful for, because I think, it started when I was, probably 26, 27 in the USL. There was a big off-season. And I remember the first two or three years I used to go back to England, I used to hire a car, and I literally, for 4 or 5 weeks, used to drive around England the first few years and go everywhere from Everton to right down to Southampton to Port Vale to League Two, League One, Championship, over to John Steele at Dagenham and Redbridge, see Man United with Alex Ferguson. I went everywhere. And the next year I went and did Holland and then Spain, and I think it's been an amazing journey. I've loved it. And I think during that time, you open your sort of learning. You see what you like, what you don't like. It's always contextual. What I used to love about it was always contextual. You're never going into something that's been set up. There's always, you walk in on a Monday to an environment and something's happened at the weekend. Win, loss, draw, player problems, whatever. And you just get to see different management styles around those situations. So in those early years, it was something I loved doing. And then outside of that, learning a language, doing outside learning, all different courses. It's just, look, it's something that I'm really grateful for, to be in this position I'm in. And I love all that. And to answer your question, I find the best managers in the world, the really great managers, have no problem sharing anything with you and open their door to you and are just pure class.
Now, you'll have plenty more questions between now and the press conference, I imagine, on Thursday. The fans will be eager to hear from you there, but would you have a quick message for the Rapids fans as you arrive in Colorado?
I think, from where I sit today, the moment I'm really looking forward to is that first home game, full stadium, to walk out in front of all the Rapids fans. And, the big ambition of mine, the big focus is to make sure we deliver a team that the fans are proud of. And I'm looking forward to the journey with the fans.
There is Anthony Hudson, the new gaffer, speaking with our Richard Fleming. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Colorado Rapids 2018 season tickets are on sale now. Don't miss out on the action as the Rapids take the field for 17 home matches at Dick's Sporting Goods Park next season.
And it's Marlon Hairston in the blink of an eye. They're back on level terms. This is some contest.
Go to coloradorapids.com to find out about the exclusive season ticket member benefits, including meet the team party, game day experiences, and stadium discounts. Go to coloradorapids.com.
Well, we take a break from this week's news to welcome back Dylan Gannon to the podcast. Dylan, how are you holding up today?
Well, besides running around like a madman, it's been good.
Chicken head cut off.
Yeah, yeah. I was gonna say that, but I figured you would have the better chicken noises.
How was that? What was that?
Wasn't bad. 8 out of 10.
All right, that. I'll always take 80%.
Well done, B minus. But in all seriousness, this is definitely an exciting time to be around the club. Getting to meet the new boss the other day was great. You could really see how excited he is to be here, which is...
Well, he's not your boss.
Well, he could be. Just kidding. I am not the newest DP signing.
Wink, wink.
Don't you worry about that one.
Dylan actually is an unbelievable center midfielder. You wouldn't even believe.
Yeah, something like that. Unbelievable is the correct word. But got to do a shameless plug here. We have a lot of great content going on all of our digital and social media outlets. So I would highly recommend that you would take a look at all of it.
Shameless is the operative word.
I mean, when you have big news like this, you got to promote it, right?
Yeah, you sure do. Well done. So go check that out, coloradorapids.com. Besides all of that wonderful content, what else do you have for us today?
Well, Anthony Hudson coming here wasn't the only big news coming out of MLS this week. The league announced on Wednesday that Cincinnati, Detroit, Nashville, and Sacramento are the four finalists in determining who will be the next two expansion teams in MLS. They're all meeting with Commissioner Don Garber and the league on December 6th, and then executives from every MLS club will meet on December 14th as they look to come to a final decision. So the waiting game is almost over.
Well, and we've been hearing certain names floated around for a while, and whether it was, I mean, Sacramento's been in from the very beginning.
Last few years, they've been applying.
It seems that Cincinnati was also up there. Detroit came in rather late. I'm surprised at Detroit because the Ford family joined the fold, and they said that Ford Field would be
the new home base.
And I just thought that MLS was trying to get away from playing in football in shared stadiums and wanted to have soccer-specific stadiums.
Yeah.
But the one that surprises me, and of course the one I'm most excited about, Nashville, Tennessee.
Nashville has really come out of nowhere, and that's great to see seeing, you know, a small market being able to do so well, and especially when you look at some of the World Cup qualifiers that were there. I mean, that's great. It's definitely an exciting market. Detroit, again, like you brought up, is interesting, but Atlanta United, I mean, they're playing in a shared stadium, and everyone saw that. So I think
I understand that, but they may be the exception to the rule, whereas I'm not shortchanging anybody in Detroit, but I just feel like that's not going to be the Atlanta United is not going to be every expansion franchise that you ever have.
Right, but I mean it's very interesting just to see, you know, because some people thought it wasn't going to work in Atlanta, so you honestly never know, and that's something that the league has to decide through all of this. Now I want to get your take on everything. Mm. I kind of thought that they were just going to announce two teams. Were you surprised to see them name four finalists ahead of the big decision?
I don't know, because at first I was surprised that they did announce the four finalists, but when you think about it, it makes sense. A, they said they were going to, and why try to have club owners and officials listen to 12 presentations when then there are four that stand out right now? If you can sort of get that process over with ahead of time, then go ahead and do it. But then on the other hand, it gives the other eight cities a chance to reevaluate their plan and try to revamp so they can be MLS team number 27 or 28 in the future.
And I think that's a really, really good point. Yeah, obviously,
I don't have a lot of those.
I know, so let's relish this moment. Don't get used to it.
I feel good.
Good. Now, one thing that we do have to take away from this is obviously two of these four are not going to be selected for this round of expansion teams. But that does not automatically guarantee them a spot as one of those final selections, as you said, as teams 27 or 28. So there's still going to be plenty of work to be done, not just for those eight cities that aren't finalists right now, but for the two that ultimately are not selected in some point in December.
Real quick before I let you go, which two would you pick?
Which two from a
league
perspective?
You're Don Garber. You're at the MLS offices in December. You hear the presentations. Assuming they're all pretty darn good, which two do you pick to be the next to join MLS?
I think I've been thinking about this a lot because there are some interesting scenarios. I think you have to do one team from the Western Conference, one that would go into the West, and one to the East. So that way we're not dealing with a complete nightmare. And, you know, previously we had Houston and SKC.
You mean like the Rapids being Eastern Conference champions in 2010?
2010, throwback Thursday
exactly.
I mean, let's do it again. I would say right now, probably Sacramento. Mm-hmm. They've kind of had a strong bid for forever, and I'm going to steal your pick, and Nashville seems pretty exciting. So.
Yes, those would be my two choices as well. Good job, Commissioner.
Appreciate you.
Well done. Appreciate you. We will see you next week. A reminder, you're listening to the Rapids Podcast presented by Advocare. Before we hear from Porig Smith on the new head coach, we continue with our season review, which has reached the month of May, with a reminder of how that went. Here's Richard Fleming once again.
In April, the Rapids lost at home in the regular season for the first time since the end of the 2015 season. They started May with a second successive home loss, and again, they were sunk late on.
Brett Shea is wide open. One-on-one. Can he beat Howard? He can! Brett Shea! May just have won it for Vancouver!
Tim Howard returned in this game, having completed his three-match ban. Alan Gordon started up top for the second game in a row, while Shkelton Gashu was back after a month on the sidelines. With a 1-6-1 record, the Rapids next hosted San Jose Earthquakes on a sweltering Saturday afternoon. The Quakes clearly struggled in the heat as the Rapids wrapped up a comfortable 3-0 win. Dominic Badgie was again on the score sheet, as was the key figure from 2016.
Saeed puts the ball inside the box. This is the first. Yes, it is. For Colorado. And who else? Shkelton Gashi. Yes. It's Colorado 1, San Jose 0. Badgie in the middle. He's got Gashi. Play Gashi. Yes. Finish it off. Gashi. 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 Oh. Wow. Goal. And it's 3. Gashi gets his second. What a beautiful finish by the Albanian. It's 3. Could you believe it? 3 for Colorado, 0 for San Jose.
This was the Rapids' biggest win over the Quakes since 2002 and only their second success of the season. It would turn out to be Gashi's only goals of the year. They followed 2 home games with 2 on the road, and neither ended well. Having toppled San Jose 3-0, they were then outplayed in a 3-0 midweek reversal to Chicago. Still without a point on the road, they came close when visiting Philadelphia 3 days later. A first goal in MLS for Caleb Calvert on a night when he was also sent off for the first time in his MLS career, as the Union came back to deny Rapids victory, victorious by 2-1. The month closed with a home game against Sporting Kansas City, and 1 goal decided the outcome.
Can Gashi test them here? Heads go up, and it is just... No, it's sneaked in! It has sneaked in! And I think it's Courtney Ford, the homegrown player, has got his first ever goal in Major League Soccer.
We had a mentality going on to the game that we were going to fight, and we had to get a result. We didn't know how it was going to look, but we had to get a result, and I was just happy that I put that one away. I was happy that I could do that for the team, but more importantly, that one was for my mom. I got to see her after the game for a little bit. Got a little emotional, you know, because she and I both knew that goal was for her. But, you know, we'll catch up later on, but it was nice to see her after the game. It's nice to get a goal, but, you know, the focus is on defense, you know. I thought we played spectacular tonight as a back four, as a back six, and as a team. So that's where the focus is, and that's where the focus is going to be going forward. Just that mentality to fight and defend well. And, yeah, that's what's going to get us results in the future.
Courtney Ford there with the reaction following his headed goal, which handed the Rapids all 3 points in a game which Pablo Mastroianni again opted for a 4-4-2 formation as opposed to what had been his go-to 4-2-3-1. So the third month of the season ended on a high, things were looking up, and June would bring more joy.
Richard Fleming with that report. And so to our next interview, and to the man who brought in the new head coach, Anthony Hudson. After Thursday's press conference, Richard Fleming spoke with sporting director and interim GM, Porrig Smith.
Porrig, we're talking Anthony Hudson. What brought him to Colorado in terms of the qualities? What do you see in him?
Well, we were always very clear on, you know, where we want to go as a club and how we want to play. I think we articulated that, you know, recently in the op-ed piece in the Denver Post and in multiple interviews since then. And I think the key thing for us is that Anthony shared that vision and philosophy. He was able to very clearly show us and articulate his vision and philosophy, which was in line with ours, but then also had the documentation to back that up, had the videos of his training sessions to back that up, and ultimately games as well. And I think the more we spoke to him, he was very clear about his philosophy, his vision. He favours a more attacking, ambitious and aggressive style of soccer, which obviously fits right into how we want to play. And ultimately, there's two ways of playing. You can be proactive or reactive. We want to be a team that attacks. We want to be a team that gets on the front foot and looks to dictate the game, and their values that Anthony shares.
I want to talk about the search in a moment and how thorough that was, but I also want to get from you how thorough he is in his preparation and planning.
I was very impressed by the level of detail that he puts into his work. His knowledge of this league, his knowledge of our players and of other players around the league was very, very strong when we met him. In terms of his own preparation, there's no doubt he's incredibly detail-oriented. And I think that's something that, you know, having been around an international setup myself before with the Football Association of Ireland, I was really impressed by the amount of work that went into his preparation and how he ensured, and I think we've seen from you know, interviews that have come out with other players that played for him, they've attested to the fact that they always felt prepared going into games. They knew everything they needed to know about their opposition and they knew what they were going to do. And that was really something that resonated with us. He's very, very strong in that area.
I know you said at the time when the search was beginning, you said it's about getting the right man, not the right man now, that kind of approach. In other words, you were going to be patient, you were going to take your time. How thorough a search was this?
Yeah, it was certainly one of the most comprehensive searches in club's history and certainly the most thorough search that I've been a part of. We've spoken to coaches from all over the world, ultimately boiled it down to a short list of three, and we met face-to-face with more than that, actually, that we met face-to-face with. We had a lot of conversations with Anthony. I think the more we spoke, the more we met, the clearer it became to us that he was the right person for this job.
And you spoke and you mentioned there about the op-ed and the Rapids philosophy and having that right man in place. How important was it to bring a guy in that ticked all of the boxes and ultimately had the same vision that you guys have got?
That was absolutely critical. I think for too long here, and through no fault of any one individual, but there was a disconnect between what we saw on the field and what we spoke about being as a club. And I think what we needed to do to ensure that we're putting ourselves in a position to be successful year in, year out, we needed to have a very clear vision, a very clear philosophy and a plan to achieve those goals. And I think it was crucial then that what we wanted to see was shared by the coach. And I think from a philosophical standpoint, from a vision standpoint, we are very much aligned. And Anthony comes in with a clear pathway and a plan to execute against that vision that we have in place.
What have you seen then from his first few days? And obviously, you know, getting on the field, getting on the training field is still a few weeks, months away. He's been around the offices. He's been introduced to the staff. What have you seen from how he's kind of embraced his first few days?
Well, again, he's very excited and he's absolutely looking forward to starting. He started already with us, but starting with the players, I think that's something he's genuinely excited about. There's absolutely going to be a transition period. As you know, we've made a lot of changes both on and off the field. A lot more to come on the field from a player standpoint. He's a very passionate coach. He's got a relentless desire to be the best coach he can be. And ultimately, his goal is to bring an MLS Cup back here to Colorado. I think it was interesting yesterday when we introduced him to the staff here. One of the questions he was asked was, you know, what are you looking forward to about Colorado and about being here? And his simple response was winning. And that was it. And I think that tells you a lot about the type of person he is and what his ambitions are.
And finally, what excites you? What excites you about not only Anthony's arrival, but also the fact that, you know, as we're sat here, MLS Cup is moving into view and then attention will turn to 2018 and obviously when the Rapids can get back out on the field.
I'm excited about a lot of things happening at this club at this moment in time. Not only Anthony's arrival, but obviously the arrival of really top-level players, you know, attacking-minded players and putting those guys in his capable hands as he tries to execute against our vision. You know, we're obviously extremely confident in his work ethic. We trust his vision in terms of his ability to execute against that. His attention to detail, his work ethic are second to none. And I think, you know, ultimately he's been on the international stage for the last few years. One of the things I'm most excited about is seeing what he can do when he's working with these players day in and day out. And I think that's going to be really important for him. We spoke to one of the guys in the New Zealand panel and that's what they said. They said, look, at heart, he's a club coach. He needs to be around players day in and day out. And if he gets that sort of daily interaction, he will turn things around very quickly. So thrilled to have him on board and very excited about the future.
Now, never too far from the mic, Richard Fleming is alongside me as it's time for a parting shot. This part of the Rapids podcast brought to you by Lunasul Tequila, made using only the best ingredients and classic techniques. Lunasul Tequila, one sip and you know. Richard Fleming, What do you know?
Two things this week. Oh, two
not
things.
Just one, but two.
I'm going to be a little greedy. Those that have been following the international football news will have seen that Lionel Messi, a good player, a very good player, has recently signed a contract extension with Barcelona. It's got a buyout clause of more than $800 million. Now, one of the reasons that the sport of soccer blossomed during the last century was because its participants stemmed from a similar background to the fans that followed the beautiful game. The game was affordable, the players were accessible, and the players were grounded. There, in turn, was a greater connection between the players and the very supporters that got behind them. Yes, we know that the game has moved on, it continues to grow, but I do feel that connection has been lost, which to me is very sad. And while we may scoff at the mere thought of any club buying out Lionel Messi at over $800 million, let's remember the same will have been said before PSG showed interest in Neymar earlier this year. Secondly, the story which MLSsoccer.com placed on their site on Monday, claiming that Bayern Munich and Poland star Robert Lewandowski is eyeing a potential move to Los Angeles. And I put Los Angeles in quotes there. And that was a story.
The city itself.
Yes, that was his wife, Anna Lewandowska, was quoted as saying, "We dream of Los Angeles. That's where we want to develop our brands." She went on to say, "We hope Robert will end his career at a club in Los Angeles, and we can say it would be our dream." So in other words, anywhere will do. Not bother which club. Probably not too fussed whereabouts in LA.
Is Teamless USA still around?
Probably not even aware of which clubs exist in the City of Angels. Didn't seem to be too fussed about MLS as a whole. In other words, we just want to go to a big city, a glamorous city. We want to build our brand, and on this occasion, it's going to be LA. For my part, I am absolutely, desperately hoping that MLS has moved on. I'm hoping that heads are no longer turned by stars in their latter years, seeing North America as an opening to pick up a decent paycheck while also kick-starting the next phase of their careers. To me, that entire article smacked of a lack of respect. It also didn't reflect well on MLSsoccer.com, the fact that they put that up there. It highlighted a story in which the subject matter was vague at best as to why this person wanted to play in the league other than for their own self-interests. And we would hope that the league has moved on, has kicked on, and that kind of chatter about players wanting to go anywhere within a league that will help them as opposed to help the league and to help the club they're joining, we hope those days are behind us.
Wise words from Richard Fleming, more from him next week, and more from us as well. One off-season signing, one new head coach, and a few roster moves. More player news is on the horizon as well. Meanwhile, and closer to home, the DA has teams in Florida for the Winter Showcase. The 18s and 19s play Crossfire Premier, Crew SC Academy, and Toronto FC Academy, with the U16-17s up against Concord Fire, DC United Academy, and the Portland Timbers. We wish them the very best, but that's all for this week's Rapids podcast. For Dylan Gannon and Richard Fleming, I'm Connor McGahee. As always, thanks for listening, and we'll speak to you next week. Goodbye.
The Rapids podcast is presented by Advocare, the official sports nutrition partner of the Colorado Rapids.